everything you need to know about elections 2024 on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Of course, we're talking about the bread and butter issues affecting the polls. 3.3 million Western Cape residents will go to the polls on the 29th of May. It represents 7.5 million Western Cape residents. As always, that we did in our first hour with our first bunch of political parties, we took a poll on who would get that first question. Angela Sobey is the premier candidate for the Western Cape. Angela is someone who was introduced to party politics as the Akron SA's premier candidate just a couple of weeks ago.
Correct.
Do you think you have enough sufficient political background, particularly with a new political party, with a new infrastructure in terms of operational capability? Do you think you have enough to first engage what is needed in this province of the 7 million residents, and if you're the person to lead this province, Angela?
Well, Lester, I think that the current state of politics in our country and in the Western Cape in particular is what has necessitated the emergence of newer political parties onto the scene. And certainly, as somebody that has grown up on the Cape Flats, I do resonate very personally with the struggles of the Western Cape. And as such, I do believe that I am equally competent to lead this province. Action SA has a very sound suite of policies, so I am backed by a party with solid policies in terms of coming into government and what it is that we would do in terms of national government as well as the province. We have contested other municipalities across the country. We have governed as a party at a municipal level, and we do have a track record. So I do believe that I am backed by an absolutely credible party.
Fidel Adams, we saw in 2021 local government elections, we saw voters leaving what we know as broad, big tent parties. They've gone and they have been attracted by either language or cultural, maybe even demographic or race-based political parties. The National Coloured Congress is unashamedly a party that represents so-called coloured interests. Why? Why are you contesting on a national level for what is essentially Western Cape, Cape Town politics, Fadio?
The unapologetic, morning everyone, the unapologetic and constructive marginalization of the coloured people right throughout South Africa has necessitated the rise of the National Coloured Congress. We promised people that we'd fight for them. And you know what the cool thing is? That when we went to council, we made good on those promises. We've had, what, 19 political parties at this table this morning? The National Coloured Congress is the only party that has consistently attacked the Democratic Alliance at every turn, has consistently made government do what they need to do. The only party that has DA administrators in court, and that's not in Cape Town, sir, the only party in the country, and we are very proud of that this morning.
Peter Murray, you have been a former Western Cape Premier, now a member of the Freedom From Plus. I want to know from you, did you leave the Western Cape as Premier a better place than what you found it? And is the Western Cape now better than when you were Premier of this province?
Good morning, listeners. Good morning to everybody around the table. Yes, I think that I planted ideas which was later implemented by those who followed me. I was only allowed to be Premier for 1 year because I clashed with Tony Leon on exactly what other parties are now doing to the DA around this table. I clashed with him on principles. I was for 1 year, 2000 to 2001, the mayor. It's not enough to change the system around. What I did do is give all poor people a certain amount of free water, certain amount of free electricity, in spite of them being in arrears. In spite of them being unemployed, they still had minimum water and electricity. I also introduced the Metro Police There was no Metro Police before Peter Marie became Premier in the Metro. And they are still there. And I also moved and I had own municipal courts because the courts, ordinary courts, were jammed with cases and municipal ordinances and bylaws were not actually...
Let me touch on Metro and local law enforcement and the conversation about devolving national policing competencies. The Western Cape government has spent 500 million rand on LEAP officers, the Democratic Alliance, and this provincial government has a plan of halving murder rate by 2029. They have not done so yet. In fact, we've seen an increase in murders, 55 murders on average every single day. Is 500 million rand on the LEAP program, is it money well spent, according to you?
Any amount of money spent on saving a life can never be said to be wasted. Even if they save 20 lives, are you going to count lives in terms of numbers? The LEAP officers has confiscated more than 300 firearms. They help with roadblocks. They assist SAPs. Roadblocks, traffic offences. We've even now moved a step further and said we have highway patrolmen on my suggestion to Windy. We enlarge the municipal force and I said, don't keep on saying national, don't give us cops. I told the DA, enlarge the Metro Police, and they did so.
Akolile Notiwala, your thoughts on crime? 55 murders in the city of Cape Town every single day, a 500 million rand budget for LEAP officers, many of that going to the salaries of law enforcement. Where does Rise Mzansi stand on the conversation around devolving national police competencies into local government so that we have a closer focus on crime?
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. South Africa is a new democracy, and I think our democracy is still maturing. And to talk of devolving the police at this point in time in our democracy, while we understand and know where the failures are, because the failures are in the leadership of the police. We know of many former now police commissioners that have left the police service because of corruption, of mismanagement, and all those things. That is what we need to solve in terms of the South African police service. It is wasteful expenditure, the money that has been spent on law enforcement in the city of Cape Town, in the Western Cape province. And we also know that many of these law enforcement officers work for a certain part of the city, and they brutalize a certain part of the city. People that look like me, poor, black, colored, and working class people are brutalized by law enforcement. And the city of Cape Town has the audacity to say that some of the money that is spent on law enforcement, who brutalizes homeless people, who brutalizes black and colored people, is pro-poor, is part of a pro-poor budget. That's a problem. I was looking at the city of Cape Town's draft budget a few nights ago. The draft budget for 2024-2025. This is what the city of Cape Town says in the budget. While generally crime in Cape Town has decreased in the last decade from 8,000 to 2,000 per 100,000 people in 2011 to 5,200 per 100,000 in 2022, total crime in Cape Town continues to be substantially higher than the rest of the country. Violent crime in that same period, particularly murder, has surged by 54.5%, from 48 murders per 100,000 to 68 murders per 100,000. So what has law enforcement done if violent crime, particularly murder, has surged? What they are talking about with the decrease is the fact of reported crime has decreased because people don't trust the police anymore.
Saki Ahmad, independent candidate on the regional ballot. You're shaking your head, yeah?
Let me start in a different place, Lester, good morning. Ons het 'n baie rof discussion gehad die tevore. And it literally goes to the question of dignity. This discussion is about bread and butter issues. And the most important daily bread and butter issue is the right to dignity. And when you look at safety and security, it's one of the critical bread and butter issues. Because it leads to people getting robbed, murdered on trains, which mostly don't run particularly on the central line. It leads to a crisis in our morality across the country. The crime rate is not only one that is in the Cape. First, Akhlulile is actually quite wrong. Law enforcement doesn't have power to deal with murder. Law enforcement does not have power to ensure that people aren't robbed. SAPS is failing to arrest. As you know, I was one of the people who led the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry through the Social Justice Coalition, and he was a part of it. So he knows that the murder rate is an incredible one that is difficult to deal with. But I want to come to the real bread and butter issue here. Our people are hungry, deeply hungry. And there are two questions, there are three questions to look at how people get food. The one question I'd like to ask people here around the table to respond to, the fact that the potato price went up from 62 rand a bag to 120 rand a bag. The food inflation, the social grants, for instance, have declined in value by more than half. By more than half. And yet, and I applaud Action SA because they have some decent policies. On the social grants, we are told that the 350 rand, which is such a small amount, which should be progressively increased to every unemployed person in the country and eventually every employed person. A universal basic income grant.
Let me ask Fadil, let's talk about policies and not just being a party to represent a so-called coloured demographic. What then is the policy to address bread and butter issues? The price of fuel, the 7% year-on-year food pricing, inflation increase. We haven't seen if any salary increases that match that, if at all. What's in the policies on the table of the NCC?
Our manifesto launches on Freedom Day. So at this point in time, right here as I sit here.
So it's embargoed until
I'm not allowed to speak about it. But what I can say is that we are 100% in favor of a basic income grant for every unemployed person. How the country is going to afford it, well, that's another matter altogether.
But that should be, if you're part of making the policy,
And
if you're part of making the policy, why aren't you costing the policy
No, no, but that's why I'm saying to you on the 29th of this of next month, all of it, no, this month, sorry, all of it comes out. So I'm not
at liberty to disclose. So my question was, if you're making the policy for a basic income grant, but you're not costing the policy, what is then your job? What are you then
doing? No, Lester. What I'm saying is that in order for us to give, we've got to take it from somewhere. Now, all of that will be mentioned at the manifesto launch on the 29th.
Okay, we're back after this.
Reflect on Ubuntu Betu as we celebrate 30 years of democracy. Go to primemediaplus.com and ewn.co.za.
Peter Marais Ali, MPL in the Western Cape Legislature for the Freedom Front Plus, has a message here on our WhatsApp line saying that people need to fight for the soul of the province. What is the soul of the Western Cape province in how it reflects people's day-to-day needs? What does that mean to you, Peter Marais?
The people of the Western Cape forms a unique community with a distinctive character. They speak Afrikaans. They are mostly Christian. There are Muslims here. There's Isikotsas here. There's Afrikaans-speaking people here. There's coloured people. There's even Griqua people staying here. It's a mixture of peoples in a cosmopolitan province where we're going to learn to live together but maintain our standards of living. Our standards is important. Our cultures are important. Our way of life is important. We do not want to be dominated by other cultures, other languages, other people with different preferences.
Afrikaans is the third most spoken mother tongue in South Africa after isiZulu, isiXhosa, then Afrikaans. Predominantly black South Africans. There are more black Afrikaans-speaking South Africans than there are white Afrikaans-speaking South Africans. What is then this culture that you then talk about?
Are you referring to me as black? I deny that I'm black.
Are you not a black
no.
South African?
I told Nelson Mandela, and he said to me, why do you say you're not black, Peter? I said, because the mirror can't lie, and my culture can't lie, and my language I speak can't lie. I don't speak an African language. I don't observe Xhosa cultures or Zulu cultures, any of it. What makes me black? And if you say
Peter,
I'm black...
Peter, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
No, you can't interrupt
of
unless...
Of course I'm going to.
I want you to wrap up 30 seconds, I've then I'll have
okay.
Zaki. 30 seconds, please, Peter.
If anybody says he's black, he's racist because he defined people according to skin color, then he's racist.
So how do you define... What do you see in the mirror? What
Zaki?
Color?
Now, let me tell you something. You must first accept that there's something like racialism before you speak of racism. Racialism means admitting there are different races. Then you are defining racialism. You saying there's different races. Then you say one race think is superior to another race, and that is racism. But if you say we are all a human race, where does racism come in? People use this word because it sounds nice and it gives them political capital. I'm not a racist. I'm a realist. I'm telling you, if you don't speak Zulu, how can you say you're a Zulu?
Zaki, I'll have you respond 30 seconds.
First, the only thing that will solve our city's problems and our country's problems is working class unity. Black African people and colored people need to stand together. However, both Fadil and Peter Mare have a racist position. One that excludes black African people, one that actually divides colored working class people who can solve the questions if we stand together, black African and colored working class.
Will Zulus accept me as a Zulu?
Peter Mare,
answer my question, Zaki.
Peter,
do you mind?
Fadil Adams, I have you respond because the Cape Colour Congress came to prominence in the formation of the Sikalu informal settlement on Sheikh's Careful. That's where you protested, and there was some violent interaction between so-called black African people and so-called colored people.
I don't get it. I agree. We all need to work together. I don't see the point in the divisiveness that's going on in this country. Need to respect me. Thank you.
I don't respect your position.
I don't care.
Fadil?
Here's the problem. I've got a man... Right, who understands exactly what happens in the Cape Flats. Throwing stones at me for standing up for the Cape Flats. When he was relevant, he never mentioned a word about the marginalization of the colored child that is happening to this day.
Amen.
When he had clout in the ANC, he was mum about it. Yet he's expecting me to be as quiet as he is. We are not the same people. I'm telling you now, I disagree with him and Uncle Peter. I am a black South African. Forget what this country, what this government says. However, along cultural lines, I identify as a colored. Because I do not speak the language of the Zulu or the Isikosa. Let me finish. Lester, you were more than willing to give them time. I do not pray to my ancestors. I am a colored South African by culture. In racial terms, we are only two races on this planet. You're either white or you're black.
Final Adams, we'll come back after this.
Reflect on Ubuntu Betu as we celebrate 30 years of democracy. Go to primemediaplus.com and ewn.co.za.
We have Zaki Ahmed, Angela Sobey of Action SA, Fadil Adams of the National Colored Congress, Akolile Notiwala, Rise Mzanzi, and Peter Maria. A lot of our conversation, Angela. We want to talk about bread and butter issues of how policy is influencing households, but we have to also pay attention to social cohesion and how that is affecting our households. A lot of conversation over the last while about race and identity. You have a particular story of coming from a household that is both so-called colored and black African. You speak Isikosa and colored. You have an experience of both a so-called colored identity and a black African identity. How do you see this conversation of race, identity, black versus so-called colored versus black African? How do you see this conversation and how it plays out in the Western Cape?
It is a conversation that, at a personal level, triggers me because I've experienced being rejected from both sides of the racial spectrum as a child growing up. So I grew up between the rural Eastern Cape and the Cape Flats in the Western Cape, and I know what it is to experience that rejection. The fact that 30 years into democracy, we are even having this conversation, when what we should be doing as politicians is putting what is wrong with this country to the forefront and working towards fixing that. That's what we should be doing, Lester. We should not be having this conversation. When I come into the Cape Flats now, as a grown woman, to hear that the colored people are being tugged in one direction and black people are being tugged in another direction, when in actual fact, apartheid legacy spatial planning affects black and colored communities equally badly. Unemployment, the destruction of the textile industry and the fishing industry has hit these communities the hardest than anywhere else in the country. That has had a direct impact on unemployment, on poverty, on substance abuse, on gangsterism, on drugs. You have the highest prevalence of homelessness in the Western Cape, which is in direct correlation to substance abuse. When you go and sit on the streets with these people, you understand that what drives a lot of them to the streets is having the freedom to use drugs as at will. And these are issues that need to be addressed holistically in terms of a suite of solutions. You cannot just address the issue. As Action SA, we're very big on the rule of law. We're very big on declaring corruption public enemy number one. But I do not believe that pulling voters apart based on race. One of the things that has come to the fore for me as well, coming back into the Western Cape, is how there's been an influx of people from the Eastern Cape. We've got a bigger problem on our hands in this country in the form of undocumented foreign nationals, people that are just walking through our borders. Our fight is not with our brothers and sisters from the Eastern Cape. Our fight is on lawlessness and on the extent of corruption in this country.
I need you to respond to Angela's comments here.
First of all, this is South Africa. This is one country. The Western Cape is not a separate country. Mm-hmm. Everyone has freedom to move anywhere in the country and even in the continent. Of course, we have to deal with lawlessness and making sure that our borders are secure. But everyone has the right freedom of movement. I want to go back to the bread and butter issues. I want to respond to Zaki's disagreement. The 500 million that we spoke about, if I am Premier of the Western Cape, I would not spend that 500 million on law enforcement, because the Western Cape has SAPS, it has Metropolis. Mm-hmm. There's those services or units already that exist. What we need with those two units is to make sure that the leadership is strengthened and it's a crime intelligence leadership. But also just lastly, the Western Cape has just withdrawn money that was given to NGOs that were giving people food. And so that 500 million could be spent on that. It could be spent on young people so that they are not attracted to drugs and
crime. I want to bring in Michael Jacobs of the United Mitchells Plain Residents Association. You're former CPF chairperson, yeah, Michael?
You see, the problem, there's a huge corruption problem. And what South Africa currently needs is ethical leaders that puts the interests of our communities and people first. Now, what we have seen, I will dispute the figure of 500 million for the LEAP program. Mm. The province has spent up to date about 1.4 billion on a part-time project of reservists. It's law enforcement reservists.
What is the question to our
president? My question is, there's a huge poverty problem within South Africa. Unemployment is very high. Crime is out of control. There's a minimum wage in certain sectors. These fat cat politicians, will they accept a minimum wage of different levels of government, national, provincial, local government, in national government? Will they accept a national minimum wage of 25,000 per month?
Let me speak to the only one around this table who has been a representative in government, Peter Marais.
Let me tell you, people talk a lot, but they don't switch on their brains before they talk.
Sounds like you.
The Western Cape has the lowest unemployment rate in the country.
That's true.
The Western Cape has the highest economic growth in the country.
Also true.
The Western Cape is given as risen. I mean, the increase in population. 1994, there was 4.1 million people in the Western Cape. That's why we only have 41 members of parliament. That's by law, one MP per 100,000. We have 7.2 million people now running to an area not controlled by the ANC, but away from areas controlled by the ANC.
Gauteng province has seen more in-migration than the Western Cape.
Correct. No.
Similar. It has similar statistics.
Actually,
of people
it has much higher.
Moving from the rural areas in this province
I can engage
centers.
You on that if you allow me. Gauteng is much richer than the Western Cape. So don't brag about it. They have the gold and everything. We only have farming and manufacturing industries.
Peter, you're talking nonsense.
But they,
Peter, you're talking absolute
that is why
nonsense.
You'll never get anywhere because you use insults and consider it to be good politics.
Maria, Zaki Ahmed,
Gauteng is much more richer than GDP than that of the Western Cape.
Peter Marie, I have to ask Derek Marco to come in here.
Control,
I am. I will control. I will call to order.
No, but you have to deal with leads.
Zaki Ahmed, Peter Marie, let us give Derek Marco a chance here, please.
Thank you very much. The fragmentation of the poor is absolutely correct. And we need to understand that. And we need to measure political parties and their performance over the next while in terms of how they're going to fragment the poor even more in this province. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely critical. But the issue for me, new parties around the table, likely coming into the game through a coalition. What is the opinion of the coalition? That is my one question. And then to Zaki, the only independent that's going to stand for the national legislature, why would I cast a vote for you and not a political party? Because I can't cast on the other 200 for a political party. But why would I cast a vote for you?
Let's go to Akolili on the possibility of coalition government here in the Western Cape. DA polling very, very close to 50%. Could be in a similar situation to the ANC of dipping below that 50 plus one. Akolile?
We are in conversation with all the parties. All the parties are talking to us. We are not going into this election with an agreement of a coalition because unlike the multi-party charter, we don't believe that coalitions should be partnerships. Coalitions should be co-governance and they should be about accountability. So if there is a party that we believe needs to be held to account, that is a party that we might consider going into government with. But our main first point of aim is that we will be in governance more than prioritizing government.
Fadil, let's talk about unemployment. Tourism plays a very, very important role in the Western Cape's economy, particularly Cape Town. There's been calls from Cape Town tourism that we would want a tourism job in every single household. But the National Coloured Congress says that you're of a platform that you are willing to blockade Cape Town International Airport. You're willing to boycott, or call for boycott outside of tourism areas. Why would you want to self-sabotage a key industry that is an important economic driver in
important
this province?
Important to who? Who does it create jobs for? For coloured people? We don't see it. How many colours do you know that own the hotels where these people come and live? You can shake your head until the cows come home, Zaki. I'm telling you the truth. How many coloured people own the hotels where these people live? How many coloured people own the restaurants? How many coloured people work in those restaurants? We said that we would shut down the Argus store because you drive through Ocean View, you stop in Ocean View, you don't even buy water in Ocean View. We are saying the city of Cape Town is spending tens of millions of rands on this for an event for the rich, depriving the poor of everything. But I also want to say, Lester, you've given everybody two or three speaking opportunities, and I've had my hand up for a while because there's some things I want to say. I want to say, the NCC does not believe in coalition politics. We believe that we'll do our best work as opposition, as the most effective opposition in the country. That's number one. Number two, Michael asked a very valid question about the minimum wage. We are the only party in the country that voted against a salary increase for councillors. I stepped down from council to go and serve my people. I'm without a salary at the moment. I don't even have the minimum wage. Furthermore, what I want to say to you is with regard to the law enforcement thing, I've had my hand up for a good half an hour. You've ignored me. You can throw 500 billion at the crime problem and nothing will solve. Nothing will change.
It's a societal problem, and this is what everybody at this table knows. It just escapes everyone. Probably because you don't live here. If Mitchell's Plain and Heideveld and Bontville and Lavendale are to remain as overpopulated as they are, as under and unemployed as it is, the crime issue will go nowhere. And the same goes for Langa and Khayelitsha and Samora. Those are the facts.
So if I must then draw that with your previous point of separating communities, if you can see that there is indeed a shared struggle between all black people,
whether you need for integration since day one, you people just aren't listening.
Why can't you share that struggle instead?
I've said since day one. Hold on a second. Share the struggle, fine. Share it with who? Who is putting the things in place that ensures that colored children, colored boys don't live beyond the age of 42? It's a black government. This is my fight. But now when I fight that black government, I'm a racist. When I say to the Democratic Alliance that release our land, depopulate the ghettos so our kids can live longer, now I'm a racist. All I am, if I'm a colored nationalist, and so be it, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, there are a few things I want to say that I want to say here, because you've given every party here the opportunity to speak on everything.
You've given me one opportunity.
I'm saying you go back to Peter, you go back to the young premier candidate over there, and you overlook me, but it's fine. You know, colors are used to being victimized. What I'm saying is, at the end of all of this, I came here for a bread and butter debate. I didn't come here to debate my party's stance. Everybody knows our stance. You don't like our stance, pull the bridge, get over it. Colored people are dying this morning and no one is saying a thing about it.
Everyone's dying.
I will have to.
Let me get back.
More colors than anyone else.
Saki, let's address Derek's question.
Everything you need to know about elections 2024 on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
Zaki Ahmed, I want you to address Derek Marco's question about your status as an independent candidate. Also, another question here from Stefan. How does being an independent candidate help with address issues in your community? Or in communities in the West.
And who are you accountable to?
Zaki Ahmed.
Let me not take Peter's bait, but he'll get a good answer if he wants it. The first and most important thing is people don't trust politicians. They don't trust political parties. And if anyone around the table disagrees with that, they just need to look at the data. No one trusts political parties, and that's why we've had fewer than 50% of people voting. My duty, and I wish all of them would help, is to draw as many people into politics as possible. My job is not that I can change the country, but I don't believe any political party here will succeed unless we all work to fix the state, to fix PRASA, to fix SASA, to fix ESCOM. And above all, to fix the humanity, to build our communities. So my job would be to try and serve on SCOPA, to check where all the money is going. For instance, the city of Cape Town is allocating 5 billion rand to safety and security. At least I would put 500 million rand into neighborhood watches. I would ask, why is that not happening? To ensure that our women who get up at 5 a.m., men who get up at 5 a.m., get some compensation for what they're doing. So my job is to be accountable, Peter, to the movement. And I've signed contracts with people for the right of recall during my term. So I'm not going to wait, if I do something wrong, for people to unelect me at the next election.
Peter Murray.
But what I actually want is for you, Peter, not for you, but people who support me to be able to recall me.
Peter Murray, you've been itching to talk about the breadbasket of this province, and that is the agricultural sector.
We got to, just before I get there, Zakia Independent is a voice in the wilderness in Parliament. One, if you come in,
Helen Sussman.
Out of 400. Okay. South Africa has a huge problem, and it's an incompetency problem. Now, let us look at what happened since the ANC took over. When the ANC took over, there was already 500 dams in the country, and that was not built by the ANC. It was built by the government that was bad, apartheid government. 500 dams.
Didn't you say
and
that
in
one?
30 years, the ANC didn't build a single dam.
And there has been, in the last 30 years, there have been significant number of dams and water projects built. Whether they've been maintained is a different question.
Well, whatever my stat says, they've between 1964 and 1994, 18 new dams were built. Over the past 25 years, only one. Okay? If you have different, give me
you
the
said
facts.
Zero dams.
Now let's look at the Nell. The Nell employ 15,000 people. 1992 it was formed, it's bankrupt. SAA founded 1934, bankrupt. Now, if we don't look after our farmers, there's not enough water. The Karoo and all those areas, there's a great water scarcity, but we concentrate, ANC says, expropriate land without compensation. We are killing the farmers. They are going to overseas countries in Zimbabwe, and our people will soon starve. And no matter what car Ramaphosa drive, he'll starve if the farmers lose their farms.
Akolele, let's talk about housing densification. We have on average 20,000 homes built in the Western Cape every year, 600,000 waiting list, but these homes are on the periphery of our metros. Your thoughts on conversations of densification now to address housing backlog in this province?
Again, because of that lack of density in the city of Cape Town in the Western Cape, more money is being wasted on reticulation that then has to go to these far-flung areas. This is not a smart-led government, and that is why we continue to say we need new leaders. And I just want to say, as a 34-year-old premier candidate, I expect to learn from those that have come before me. But I don't believe from the previous debate to this debate that we have a mature politics. And we need to start having a mature politics for people to trust politicians, to trust political parties, to trust politics. We need to have a mature politics. We can debate, but we need to have a mature politics.
Faisal, you'll have the last bite, and then a 20-second wrap from each person. You spoke about angry politics. You said that you are angry, and your anger gets vented through your words, in which you are known to be a very loud, brash politician.
Zaki doesn't like it.
Many people don't like it. You talk about, you said before that the age of respectability politics is over, but people vent their anger in different ways. You spoke about stone throwing, building burning. People's frustrations have been vented through this. So you have to admit that everybody in South Africa, particularly the poor and black in South Africa, have been angered over not just the last 30 years, but the legacy also of spatial apartheid.
Yeah, we get the legacy of spatial apartheid. You people need to understand that not everybody understands my anger, and that's why my market is a niche one. How many people know someone that was shot last night? I do. How many people know someone that was shot the night before every night? I do. Welcome to my world, Lester. Here's my problem. The 34-year-old premier candidate spoke about people's freedom of movement. 100%. Beautiful. You should be able to go wherever you want to. But with that freedom, there comes a sense of responsibility. You can't just set up camp anywhere you want to and start making demands. You're pushing my people, the colored people, further back in the queue with a housing log. Now I've got grandmothers. You can shake your head.
I have to wrap up now. Hold on, Lester. I'm sorry, Fadil, we're running out of time.
Lester.
I will give each one a wrap of 20 seconds. You can start, Fadil, please.
Okay, I'll say it plainly. The influx from the Eastern Cape is killing the aspiration of the colored people in the Western Cape. I would also like to say to Uncle Peter, we don't need to start taking care of our farmers. We need our farms back. The white people found us here as farmers. They just assumed that mantle.
Peter Marie, 20 seconds.
Already the colored people got their farms back, and I fought for it very hard. The Trankra Act is implemented. Ebenezer got 35 back farms back in colored hands. 1.3 million hectares of land is now being transferred to colored people.
Peter Marie.
1.35 million hectares.
Angela, please.
The most critical aspect that we all need to focus on right now is to ensure that the people that are eligible to vote actually go out and vote. Otherwise, it brings this entire discussion to naught. What it is that we are offering the people of the Western Cape is practical solutions that are going to change their lives.
The politics of division are not going to help us. We are fighting a divided politics. We are fighting the legacy of apartheid. If we continue to divide the black and colored people and white people, we are not going anywhere. We need to continue the project of nation building that was left abandoned by the African National Congress and build a South Africa that we all deserve, that is safe, that is equal, that is prosperous and united.
Zaki Ahmad, 20 seconds.
Truth in politics is the most important thing. Truth in politics. And regrettably, there hasn't been truth in our politics. So for me, the critical question is to base yourself on data to ensure that people know what they're talking about. And I'm not talking about politicians, but for me to bring the voices of people into parliament, to bring experts into the parliament, that is what one person do. It is not the wilderness.
And that's it. Thanks so much for joining us. All our panelists and all our political parties.